Well, a research team from Queensland is taking this notion one step further and has been researching how certain tropical fruits can actually reduce fat and reverse chronic conditions which affect your heart, your liver, kidney, even your joints. And these are fruits that could potentially be grown right here in WA. Lindsay Brown is a professor of biomedical sciences at the University of Southern Queensland. He's been leading this research and he's actually here in WA for a conference on innovative horticulture for healthy food. And he's very keen to share his research with you. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thank you.
Now, fruit and weight loss, what's the connection?
The connection is that many of these fruits are actually powerfully anti-inflammatory. And obesity is a chronic, it's a long-term, low-grade inflammation, which then damages all the organs of the body.
So what sort of fruits are we talking about here?
Oh, we've done a whole range of different things. So the one in particular is Davidson's plum, which is something that you can actually buy. I looked on the internet last night. You can actually buy the fruit trees in Perth, even though it's not a local WA variety. Southern Queensland, also in the tropical North Queensland. So it's a small plum. And what we've shown with that is that it reduces in the model we use, it's reduced the fat, it's reduced the blood pressure, it's improved the liver function. But really importantly, it reversed the cartilage damage in these rats. So an obesity-induced osteoarthritis without changing the diet. It just brought that back to normal. I think that's wonderful.
So the Davidson plum, which, as you said, you can get here. So what sort of quantities would be needed? I know you've been doing this research on rats and obviously then try to relate that to humans, but what sort of, how would you
We try and translate. When we pick a dose for rats, we look at what would be possible in humans and then translate it back given the different size and body weight and surface area and all those things. So this is the sort of two or three plums a day type range. Now, they're also available as a powder, so you can buy that powder and put it into food, for example. So there's different ways of doing that. And one of the suppliers in North Queensland even makes a port from it.
Wow.
And so you can at least drink the port and say, oh, this is actually good for me.
Because it's going to reduce my fat, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay, you've mentioned the Davidson plum. What other fruit have you looked at?
We've looked at a lot of the family of Garcinia. Now, Garcinia is the mangosteens. So in particular, a yellow, so not mangoes, but mangosteen.
So what's a mangosteen?
Mangosteen is a tropical fruit, and there's a purple one, very common in Indonesia and Malaysia, which has got a gorgeous inside, so the pulp of it. There's a Bolivian one that is grown in North Queensland. I mean, where else would you grow Bolivian fruit? called a cha-cha, and that, the inside, we've done a yellow mangosteen, which is common in Indonesia. And it's not only the pulp doesn't really do much. It's a wonderful taste. But the rind, so the skin of that, is quite thick on tropical fruits. And it's that skin that actually has the goodness in it. So putting those skin, which is just a waste product, completely a waste product.
Yeah, we throw it out.
And we throw it out. And because it's 30 or 40% of the weight of the fruit, we throw out a lot of the original weight of the fruit. And it's this that actually is effective. And very effective.
Davidson plum, mangosteens, any other fruit that you're looking at?
It depends how we're going to define fruit. Is seaweed a fruit? It's tropical. There's hundreds of different, thousands of varieties. We know there are effects of about six of those several thousand varieties. But certainly on the coast of WA, as well as on the coast of Queensland, some absolutely amazing red seaweeds, so red macroalgae. And we've worked on some of those. Hey, they work. They're really great. And these are things that people would look at and say, oh, no, I'm not going to touch that. That's a seaweed. Well, it's actually really good. And the horticulture of that has developed so much in the last 10 or 20 years that it is possible to actually grow cleanly, effectively, and they will grow up to 30% per day. So you can produce large amounts of these products.
So eating this kind of these functional foods, because yes, they are...
That's right. They're nutritious, but they can also reverse or prevent disease states, and that's the definition of a functional food.
So how quickly do they work on the body to reduce fat? I mean, if I was to say, okay, I'm going to have three Davidson plums a day, what would happen to me?
We're probably going to see... Well, first, we'd probably see a decrease in blood pressure, assuming your blood pressure is higher to start with. It won't reduce a normal blood pressure. And that will happen in what we've done on some human studies, will happen within 6 to 8 to 10 weeks. And the decrease in body weight will probably take longer, but we certainly see after that 6 or 8 weeks, we do see changes in the inflammatory markers that tell us that inflammation is going down and then obesity will go down. And that will probably take a couple of months.
Gee.
But for most people, it will actually be shorter than that, because most people, if they start that, they use it as a trigger to say, oh, I'm going on this, and therefore I'll walk up the flight of stairs to go to work. I'll ride a bike for a kilometre every afternoon.
So it triggers other...
It triggers these other responses in lifestyle. And that's fantastic. Okay, as a pharmacologist, yes, it's not a drug that's doing it. It's not a natural compound that's doing that, but it's that combination of changing a lifestyle, and this is the trigger that does it.
But is this a better alternative to a pill?
I think it's a far better alternative. I'm a pharmacist by training, so that sounds a bit contradictory, but yeah. I think it is, because firstly, it's sustainable. We can grow the seaweed, we can grow the plums, we can grow, kwandong, for example. We have no idea what that does. The finger limes can also be bought here easily. They grow wonderfully, fantastic taste. But all of these things are sustainable. And especially if we're using the rubbish, the garbage from the fruit production to actually make something useful, we've got something that's perfectly logical.
Is there interest in horticulturists to try and advance, their interest in this? And I mean, are they recognising that there might be opportunities here?
I think they recognise it. One of the key problems in this country is that small and medium enterprises, which are the groups that are going to be doing this, tend to be risk averse. And they would... like to be first in, as long as they're not having to put their own money, which I can understand. That they're not putting, they don't want to put their own money into it. I wouldn't want to either.
Sure.
In some ways.
But there's an opportunity here.
There's opportunities there to do it. So for someone who has that excitement about it, hey, this is really something different.
Rose has a question for you, Professor. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning, Nadia. Hi, Professor.
Good morning.
I just want to know, are they, the plums, are they high in salicylates?
No, they're not. Tomatoes certainly are, but the plums apparently are not. I haven't done that testing. This is just what I've been told.
Do you know what the compound is?
The compound of the anthocyanin. So it's the purple colour that's actually the key part. And so the Queen Garner plum that we used previously that is grown in West Australia as well is purple the whole way through, and it's that purple colour that is the active ingredient. There's also...
So we can now look at purple carrots. You've done some research in these. All the purple foods.
So we've done purple carrots. We've done purple maize from South America. We've done Saskatoon berries that come from northern Canada and can survive at minus 40. So that's not typical for Perth.
No. No, we're the other way. We're plus 40. Rose, thank you for your question. Nicole has one as well. Hello, Nicole. The professor's listening.
Hi there. I was in Bali and had a chronic illness where I had a really high fever, like 38.5 degrees, and I was on a whole food diet and I had a lot of mangosteen. My temperature, body temperature, actually reduced, so it was stabilising my mast cells. So I tried to buy mangosteen here in Perth, and I've had trouble with finding a lot of them are actually rotten inside. So I was wondering if you could give me any tips on how to pick healthy-looking mangosteen that are edible and won't be off in the middle, because I know they're all imported in here.
Thank you for that. I think the best way of doing it is going to be getting fresh fruit on the market, and so persuading some of the local growers to actually put some trees in so that they can supply the local fruit shops with locally produced products.
And it's interesting, Nicole, thank you. A text here says, Davidson plum powder, $140 for 250 grams. Was interested, but not at that price. But I guess it's a supply and demand thing as
it
well.
It is, and 250 grams is an awful lot of powder.
Well, how long would that last?
Oh, it depends what you're going to be using, but that would be at the most, you'd need one teaspoonful, the smaller one, one teaspoonful per day, so it's about 5 grams. So that's two months effectively.
And that would be enough to see a difference?
That should be enough to see a difference, especially if people are then going to do some of these other things that go with that. If they're going to think that they can keep going with the junk food diet and everything else that's gone wrong, well, this is not a magic bullet. This is not a way of solving 30 years of problems overnight.
But this is a good alternative to taking medication.
I think it
is. Which is what will appeal to people. Before I let you go, you also talk about spent coffee grounds.
I do talk about spent coffee grounds. Coffee is obviously a tropical fruit because that's where it's grown, in the tropical areas. And so we decided to get some of the coffee grounds from our local university refectory, and they were free, so we could forward that research without any problem. And we put it into the rats, and it was perfect. The increase in body weight stabilizes, it flatlines, the blood pressure is back to normal, the lipids in the liver, the fatty liver is back. And you think, wait a minute, this is the classic junk. The city of Sydney apparently produces 3,000 tons of spent coffee per year, 7% of which is used in gardens, 93% goes to landfill.
So we should be putting this on our veggies. In the 30 seconds we have left, how could we use it?
Put it in the compost, mix it up in the compost, then put the compost underneath the ground before the next season starts.
Thank you. What a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for coming in.
My pleasure.